So thank you for joining the session. My name's Jason Matthews. I'm one of the directors at Lifecycle. I've been invited along today from RPC, by RPC UK, who have a stand out there, stand 9 and 10. And I was talking to them about the subject of deliverables management some time ago. And I just want to run you through some thoughts, some things to think about, and some of the things that I see around this topic. Okay, so this is our agenda. I'll just give a bit of context about myself, my background, what I'm seeing or what I've seen in the industry, some of the challenges around the industry, what deliverables management's about. I'm not going to drill into too much detail, but hopefully it will give you enough of a feeling that I know a little bit about the topic. I'm not an expert. The scale of the challenge in the industry, and then hopefully with some positive news at the end about how we can tackle deliverables management in a more comprehensive way. And if we have time, I'm a little bit cut short, we can have some questions and answers in the session. So I feel like a doorman now, counting people in and out. This is like a dog clicker. So sorry about the noise of this. So just to put a bit of context on myself, I had a very enthusiastic father in construction and grew up on site, cut my teeth on many different sorts of projects. Oh, knew how to use a theodolite and a dumpy level, but I'm actually a mechanical engineer by background. So I'm not a highly qualified projects guy, scheduler, planner. I'm fairly new to your world, around 5 years. But what I do bring is a number of years of experience in seeing the journey in the industrial manufacturing sector from paper through to fully defining everything as a 3D model. And that journey in the industry, how that happened, and some of the applications and challenges that were that I witnessed through that journey. So when we're talking about exciting areas like BIM, etc., I think I've got some experience that helps construction, EPCs, owners, those sorts of people, to solve some of these difficult challenges. I'm a mechanical engineer, not a construction engineer, just to caveat my presentation. Okay, so in the world that I came from a few years ago, when we talk about complex life cycles, it typically starts off with maybe an idea, some market requirements, some capabilities that need to be designed, and that would typically start many, many years ago on the drawing board, but about 20 years ago introduced computer-aided design. And as part of that that life cycle, we then had to utilize that electronic, that digital information across the life cycle from design, through manufacturer, through life, through to disposal. So that is a fairly significant life cycle when you're talking about an asset such as a boat, a battleship, a helicopter. They have long lives, up to 50 years in some cases. So embroiled in all of that journey is an awful lot of complexity, and I believe some of those challenges exist within the construction sector, as you will all know. So when we look at that as a comparable in the construction sector, again, you'll all hopefully be familiar with this life cycle of starting off with probably a contract pre-design. We then move into the design phase and moving through the construct handover, which typically gets forgotten and everybody runs around crazily at the end trying to build out the documentation. And then we move into the operations mode. And this is obviously very high level in between all of those. Now we're back on. Okay, so we have a highly distributed environment where we have people sitting on the fringes who have their own systems, their own ways of doing things, but we need to interact with them from a data perspective, from an update, from a documents, collaboration. So this is much more difficult to deal with, and we need to deal with Jason Matthews Limited, who's making the widgets in China. They're actually in our plan somewhere, and they're a critical item on the path in the plan. Or we're dealing with very large organizations where they've got their own systems. So you can imagine now, I've got a piece of paper that's being fed into my major EPC project. I've got a spreadsheet that's on my C drive. I've got a form that I've just printed from a PDF. The range of things that you have to do to organise these deliverables is phenomenal. It's significant. So there's a major challenge in the way the industry operates, and it's just a fact of life. It is what it is. What we need to do is to work out how we can deal with it by using technology, applying some processes to make our lives a bit easier in the way we deal with, let's call this, deliverables management. And one example of that is a simple drawing review process, where I take it from my system, I give it out to somebody else's system between the EPC and the owner, for example. I create my markups internally in my system, which I keep a record of. Then they go to the EPC or the owner. They have a separate document management system with their own review markup tools. So we're doubling up here. And that's just one very simple use case. Separate workflows, separate controls. It's difficult. I'm not saying it's easy. And it's because of this distributed landscape that we have, in which we have to work. So if we just put some overlay with the supply chain, as I would call it, is there's stuff all over the place coming from various sources that needs to be managed, fed in, updated, cost, drawings, data, it's enormous. Contractual changes, requests for change, change orders, all that stuff has to be gathered up. So it's not easy. It's really not easy. So let's talk a bit about deliverables management. Why does it exist? Now, I did do a little bit of homework, and I spoke to one of the global EPCs about this and asked them the question, why do they think deliverables management exists? And these were some of the answers that I got, were that we have to do it as part of every contract to our customers. We have to deliver to the contractual obligations. So we must deliver 1,000 design drawings. We must deliver 50,000 pumps. We must deliver 4 kilometres of concrete wall, whatever it may be. Contractually, they're obliged to ensure that they meet these deliverables and deliver these packages against the contract. What they also do is allow us to track the progress of the deliverables, which will generate money, which will generate cash. So cash is king for any business, and so applying very granular, detailed understanding of where you are from a deliverables perspective is really key, because it means I can invoice, I can get paid as an EPC to an owner. Let's take that use case. I want to be able to generate cash as quickly as possible, and I want to be able to bill as soon as I can. And if I don't know where things are from a deliverables perspective, how can I be expected to invoice in a granular way, rather than waiting a month or waiting 3 months or waiting 4 months? If I can do that weekly, possibly daily, it really depends on where you sit on this, but I can generate cash effectively. I can track progress. I mean real progress, not just progress. Where are we? We can go right down into a very granular level. And when we're talking about thousands of deliverables, it's a critical part of any project. And we can manage the project more effectively. One organization has something called on-time delivery, which is one of their strategic objectives. And in order to support on-time delivery, they need to know where things are at. And when your project has a huge deliverables management part of it, it's really critical. It's really critical. And quality, being able to ensure that what goes out of the door is to a certain quality standard. On the other side of the fence, we want to ensure that we remove risk and that we enforce safety, that we're meeting the safety standards, that we're being diligent as an organisation, and that we've validated that information. So following good process, good controls, version control, good controls from a workflow, good controls from a process is also critical for them to ensure that they meet these kind of objectives. But actually, the biggest one of all is protecting the company from liquidated damages. They need to know that they can walk into court and go, here's the evidence, here is the proof, here's the systemized proof that I've captured what's happened here in the process to get to this set of deliverables and the subsequent issues that we're talking about now. Whether that's cost overrun, schedule overrun, disaster, whatever it may be, these deliverables would form a key part of that conversation. So it's to protect the company, to ensure that anything goes wrong, they can hold their heads up and say, here's the evidence. How are they determined? And I think pretty much everybody in this room would understand how we define a project, level one, level two, level three, level four, so I'm not going to labour this point. And then at each task level, there would be deliverables within the task level. These are our scribbles where we were just talking about how do we define where the deliverable sits. And you can see on the left-hand side, we're just talking about the different levels within the project plan. Ultimately, we would end up with something that looks like that within P6 or within project. So that's just a bit of high-level stuff that I'm assuming that you would all know. Each deliverable would have a due date. And those deliverables could be internal or externally required to be delivered. And then we would have a set of milestones that would allow us to measure the progress, and that would be defined in the project plan. But whilst we're doing that, we need to be mindful of ensuring that we're within our schedule, within our cost, within the scope, that we're tracking this stuff within the constraints, the triple constraints that the industry talks about. I'm not a triple constraint expert, but I do know that is a critical thing that's spoken about in the industry again. I'm a mechanical engineer. Okay, so just some examples of what are those deliverables. So it could be drawings, design drawings, initial basis of design. It could be procurement, so materials that I've got to procure. It could be equipment that I'm installing, and that could be a welded, fabricated pipe rack. Obviously, it could be a set of pumps, it could be piping, whatever that may be. So these are all deliverables that we need to track and measure from initial design all the way through to handover, where we would take, obviously, a set of documents, what we call the O&M, to hand over to the client. This bit at the end is, I hear frequently, is an area that gets forgotten about, and generally there's money tied up in the O&M as well. So perhaps we can bring that into the deliverables management framework in order to ensure that we're doing better, we're performing better at delivering the O&M at the end of the project, so we can get that final 10% released. Okay, how do we progress them? Well, you could imagine delivering 1,000 drawings, and in order to create those drawings, design them, I could have 1,000 man hours, let's say, of engineering time to deliver those drawings. So we may measure progress in terms of hours. We may measure progress in terms of packages. So we may have bought something in, made a supplier parts, supplier pumps, whatever it may be. We can also look at quantities installed. So these things can be progressed depending on where they sit in the life cycle, whether they're engineering, procured, or construct, can be tracked in various ways. Some of you may know Brian King, who was one of the industry guys from Oracle. I stole that picture from him. He doesn't know that yet, but I'm sure he'll find out. So that's the guy who's got the job of picking up the O&M manual at the end. It's just been delivered on a pallet. Okay, so if we talk about measuring the progress, we talked about hours, and measuring progress against hours, typically in spreadsheets. We can provide, we need to consider the weighting of the milestones. So as you may or may not know, some industries have a 25, 50, 7500, some have 30, 60, 90. It really depends on where you sit, whether you are an owner or a different sort of supplier or buyer, purchaser. And then we have rules of credit. So this is really the key. These are the milestones. The rules of credit allow us to invoice and generate cash for our business. So again, if we're not measuring this effectively, and we're not measuring this at a granular level, it's going to be difficult for us to prove that we've completed that work if it's just in an Excel spreadsheet. I want to know as the PM where we are in terms of progress. So we have what's called these milestone measurements that allow us to effectively invoice once we've transmitted, delivered, handed over these deliverables. But there are some other things in here that have to happen behind the scenes, and that is looking at managing the revisions of these documents, let's say. If we take the engineering deliverables, the documents, we have multiple revisions at each milestone, so it becomes quite complex trying to manage these multi-layered deliverables. Then we obviously have drawings and other documents that may be required as part of that deliverable. And then we have comments, which is the change, the incorporation process, where I would feed back what I think changes need to be made to these set of deliverables. So there's a lot of stuff in there, And then really, ideally, we want some automation around the workflow. So rather than email, Excel, phone calls, fax, whatever it may be, and we'll talk about maturity in a second, we really want some workflow around there. We want to remove the non-value add. So having a stringent gate to follow through workflow that provide these complex interactions with various people and suppliers and contractors at certain stages in developing these deliverables is also critical. And again, they can be, looking back at that collaboration slide, they can be internal or they can be external. So we need to provision for how we're going to work, how we're going to bring in an external set of deliverables into our environment to manage that in an effective way. So we have some very complex workflow processes that we need to follow as an industry, as an EPC, as an owner, depending again where you sit in the food chain. To add more weight, complexity to the situation, we also have a way of contracting and managing change. How we effectively manage change and put the deliverables into the change framework. So again, I'm assuming most people are familiar with the term NEC3 and the processes that support more effective change. So we need to ensure that whatever we're doing from a workflow perspective sits in some kind of contractual change framework that allows us to be more effective and to manage these changes of cost, schedule, time, whatever those changes might be. Again, this is difficult stuff, right? I mean, we've got all this ugly collaboration stuff going on where we've got people everywhere. We're also constrained by all of these sorts of processes. But actually, it's good constraints because they're enforcing control in what we're doing on the project. And then we have BIM thrown in there. I've absolutely no idea how BIM, from a deliverables perspective right now, is going to work, and I suspect there's quite a few other people trying to work that out. We are doing some work around the BIM area, but when you start putting BIM data into the workflow processes of people that have been used to just looking at data and forms, that becomes a challenge as well. So we do need to be able to deal with this data as it becomes a standard way of working, and as I experienced 20 years ago in industrial manufacturing. So these, again, just considerations. I'm not saying this is the way to do it. I'm just sharing my observations and some of the research that I've done. But it really depends on where your company sits on the curve. And I would hazard a question that, are you systemized? Do you have a holistic system that has your schedule, your cost, your deliverables management, your document control sitting in one framework and they're all joined up? Or are you at the other end of the scale, which is Excel hell? Or are you somewhere in between where you've got a great cost management system and maybe a different document control deliverables management system, and then another system for schedule. So I don't know what the lie of the land is here, but somewhere, I guess somewhere in between is what's out there. Okay, so just one thing to consider. I also asked the question about Excel. And Excel, and the same exists in the other sector, by the way, is that Excel is absolutely everywhere. And it's really, I think it's holding industry back. Because if you look into your organization and you ask how many Excel spreadsheets you have running your projects, running, let's talk about deliverables management, there, I would hazard a guess that there are hundreds, tens, hundreds of Excel spreadsheets out there. And what was also interesting was, having asked the question of this particular EPC, they'd just had a meeting the day before to get the team in to ask them who had their own spreadsheets as well. So there was a spreadsheets drawer at a company level, there was a spreadsheets folder at a departmental level, and then there was a spreadsheets folder with my own in there. And you start to build that up and you see the level of wasted time and inefficiency that exists within an organization, and it is significant. And I'll share some of those numbers with you shortly. So Excel is a productivity killer if you're in a non-integrated environment. So I'll talk a little bit more about how we rid Excel from these sorts of processes to support better deliverables management. So just flicking through this, we all know this. It's just easy to go back to the Excel because it does this and it has that feature and we can manipulate the numbers and blah, blah, blah. But at a company level, at a project level, from a deliverables management perspective, it's obviously efficient or inefficient depending on what my role is. But at a company level, it's inefficient because it's on my C drive and I know what's in there, but the company doesn't know what's in there. And I'll just take my bit of data that I want to give to the company and I'll report that bit of data. It's uncontrolled, so I've done it myself, version 17 of the spreadsheet. I'm on version 1.8 of the PowerPoint till late last night. Nobody knows about those other 16 versions that were happening before that, what data got left behind, how I manipulated that. So it's very manual, it's subjective potentially, and there's no process wrapped around it. It doesn't sit in a workflow. So, a number of challenges. So, they're the wrong tools for the job. We need to rid the company of Excel and get the processes. This is my dentist from Lincolnshire, if any of you from Lincolnshire. Okay. So, if we look at some of the numbers, the processes, the open task items that are being pushed through our organisations daily, the numbers of documents, the emails, the correspondence, the RFIs, all that stuff. In one company of, I'd say, mid-size EPC, they were talking about this kind of level, 150,000 ball in court tasks open. Just having the whole organization's running around chasing its tail in email and Excel and correspondence and faxing and all of that disconnected stuff. And thousands of documents downloaded to the desktop, documents outside of the system of record, documents in the collaboration portal, in my 40 sites that sit on SharePoint. It's everywhere, there's information everywhere. So we also, in my research, also picked up that there's a lot of daily stuff that people have to do that's difficult to deal with. It's difficult. So we've got this spaghetti, let's call it, which is the construction collaboration patterns. And then we've got all of these folks dealing with this in using tools that are really not fit for the job. One of the other questions I asked of the EPC was, what's a, you know, on a small project, what are you dealing with in terms of purchase orders, vendors, suppliers, and their answer was hundreds. And they've come from a maturity of, okay, thank you, Ian. They've come from a maturity of Excel and a basic document management system. So if you're sitting at that level of maturity, then you're not on your own. It's difficult. But actually, the upshot of not doing this stuff well has a major impact to your business. So surely, strategically, somebody should have their eye on this and go, we need to do this better, because when things go wrong and we are having discussions with our client, when we want to know actually where things are about visibility, profitability of projects, are we really efficient? And ultimately, are we going to ruin our reputation in the market by not doing this well and not providing the right level of support? So it can have a major impact to the business at many levels, and I would suggest that this is something that needs to be considered. But here we go, 4 minutes. Not all bad news, because there are obviously lots of great systems out there. Ecosys and Unifier and Cobra and all these other great things out there. But they all do one thing really well, and that's typically what we see is you end up with a very good best of breed system for cost control, a very good best of breed collaboration document management, great document control system. That has its own challenges, and that challenge is connecting the dots between these systems. So you end up with very complicated, complex integrations between these systems, and not a consolidated platform, if you like. So that is an approach, but we could typically end up, and we see this a lot, with siloed systems, and actually it's too difficult, so we're just going to start using Excel or email, or we're going to revert back to what we know best, because we all do it. We all find the least line of resistance, because we just need to get the job done, because if we don't get it done, that's not going to happen. So there's a, by not putting something in that works, that helps the users get their job done in an easy way, simply, quickly, we end up reverting back. So, two more minutes just to wrap up. So if we can connect these dots between the three systems, between, let's say, the planning scheduling system, P6, or Microsoft Project, and we can connect the dots with, let's say, Ecosys or Unifier or Cobra or whoever those cost guys might be. If we can connect that up with the deliverables management, the document control system, we can get some significant business benefit from doing this. And on the left-hand side, you can see that we got talking about the milestones, milestone 1, 2, and 3, and how that could feed in to the schedule to say, okay, that's the task, that deliverable has been completed. We can also pass that over to the cost side to say that piece of work's been completed, so we can put a payment application in. So I'm not going to go into the details now because I don't have time, but there are some obvious benefits to connecting these dots. So if you're a best of breed, then integration is obviously your way forward to achieve some kind of synergy between the three moving parts and deliverables management. Or if you're going down the integrated route, then there are some questions to ask yourself. If you're going down the integrated route, this is, I guess, what we see is if you look into an organization for a typical project, and specifically around deliverables management, there are a lot of things to consider. So coming back to the Excel question, hunt out those Excels, find those Excels, and systemize those Excels, get them into a workflow, get them into a form, get them into a system of record, get them audited, get them revision controlled, get them into the system, because you will save yourself some significant time and headaches. So, if you're looking at solutions, ensure that these folks can get you up and running quickly, and that these solutions are highly configurable to ensure you're self-sufficient. I came from SAP, and SAP, obviously one of the most successful platforms, what they do is they march in an army of consultants, and then they deliver something, you go live, and then when you want to change something, the army of consultants come back on site. Whereas for this process, because it's so complicated, as an organization, you need to be self-sufficient. So you want a tool that you can configure yourself, having been enabled by a partner, but you want to be able to do as much as you can yourself to hunt out these Excels. Integrated to those triple constraints where we talked about, ensuring that the information between the deliverables, between the cost, between the schedule is being exchanged in a synchronized, integrated fashion so we can create a new baseline easily. And ensuring that we're collaborative. So again, coming back to that collaboration patterns map that I showed you, we need to be able to deal with a fax in an efficient way. We need to be able to deal with a scanned drawing in an efficient way. We need to be able to deal with a spreadsheet in an efficient way. So we need to be able to provide this collaborative environment that allows us to deal with everybody in the supply chain. So it is what it is, I'm afraid. It's difficult. It's challenging. But I think if you break that down, you can achieve a more comprehensive, more joined up deliverables management. So last slide from my interview with the EPC. They said it will. The investments that they're making will drive top line, bottom line benefits. And what they've seen by getting rid of a lot of Excel, they're by no means there, is a 30% reduction in the time spent manipulating, copying, emailing, version controlling, updating, manually inputting stuff into spreadsheets. So there's some huge gains in productivity. What's also really important to them is the ability to create this auditable environment. They're in oil and gas. It's critical that they can get back and see what happened on the journey of delivering this project. And actually, interestingly, they've got differentiation because if they can show their clients that they have a highly collaborative, well-controlled, efficient process for deliverables management, their competitors are not doing this yet. They are doing it. So they can invite their clients into their environment where they both get upside, they both get efficiency, and they both get business benefit from collaborating more closely in these difficult, complex, challenging projects.